We'll go to Ecclesiastes today for a moment. Being Father, so you have to give me lots of room, latitude in this teaching. So, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. We'll start in chapter 12, Ecclesiastes. I want to read, you're well aware of the conclusion of the book, but we're going to read it first before we read a little bit of the front part of the book. Ecclesiastes. I titled this teaching, Castles in Spain. explain in a minute here. But Ecclesiastes is that search of a man for understanding, search for wisdom, search for purpose, and other things. But that's some of the themes that run through the book. And at the conclusion of the book, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says in verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Right? And this is of the whole matter, the entire book of Ecclesiastes. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Right? That was the conclusion, and this was written by Solomon, that this man came to after he considered some things. So I thought we'd take a look at a few of the things he considered. Right? We'll go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes. I was just reading this book recently. I got really blessed to read it again and thought we'd look at a few things in it. Chapter 1, and especially, you know, for the young folks who might have a desire, so to say, to look into some of these things as they grow, which is natural. Verse 1, chapter 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity or emptiness or nothingness. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away, another one comes, but the earth still stays, earth abides forever." You know, some people go, some leave, and there's the earth still there. "The sun also ariseth, and the sun goes down, and hasteth to his place where he arose." Just every day, sun comes up, sun goes down. Some people die, some people are born. Sun goes up, sun comes down. Vanity. "The wind goes towards the south and turneth about unto the north. Whirls about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." Every day there's a wind, right? You ever just sit down and think about the wind? Where does it come from? What's the purpose of the wind? Well, the wind goes north, some goes south, some circles around, goes back. Kind of interesting what he's looking at here. Verse 7, "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full." Why doesn't the sea ever get full? I mean, the rivers are constantly. Why aren't the rivers ever get empty? "Unto the place where from whence the rivers come, they return again." So the rivers, the water just seems to keep going around and around and around and around. You see, he's looking at the world saying, what's the point of all this? Now remember, when we look at all these verses, remember his conclusion, okay? Remember his conclusion that he arrived at after looking at all these things. What was it? "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Right? You may look at a lot of things in your life. You might get involved in a lot of things. You might try to figure out a lot of things. But there's only one conclusion of all your figuring, all your pondering, all your thinking, all your wandering, and that is, fear God and keep his commandments. Right? So he's thinking about the rivers here. Verse 8, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." People want to see more, want to see more, want to see more, want to hear more, want to hear other things, want to hear this, want to hear that, want to see more. Never satisfied. So remember that in your life, you'll never be satisfied with hearing more things and seeing more things. Verse 9, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Right. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It had been already of old time, which was before." I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. What's the word? I mean, you've heard that expression before. Right. Unless we think we're so incredible. "There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after." People don't remember what happened back there, nor are they going to remember what's going to happen tomorrow when that passes. Right? "The preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And, you know, Solomon was in a position pretty much to try anything that he wanted to, yes? And he said, I did it all of it was emptiness. His conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments. That's what he came to. Verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart, and had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. Waste of time. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. These are great lessons, you know. I mean, sometimes it may be worthwhile thinking, well, it's been tried, and this was the man's conclusion. Do I really necessarily want to try all that? Or do I want to be satisfied with the conclusion that God says this man came to? What was the conclusion? Fear God, keep his commandments, this is the whole duty of man. Chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Okay, time to party. Let's get into partying and enjoying life. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Right? And Solomon could probably have enjoyed more pleasure than any other man in the world, right? I mean, he had all the riches and all that he needed. And what did he find? It was vanity, emptiness. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Okay, now he's going to try drinking. Yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should go do under the heaven of all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them, all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar measure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. He's done it all, right? I mean, I get tired thinking about all these things. He tried them all. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Whatever he wanted, I went after it. Whatever I desired, he tried it. Right? I withheld not my heart from my any joy, from my heart remained rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Right? Nope, not a little bit, none. Emptiness, vexation of spirit. And I turned myself to behold wisdom, and madness and folly, for what can the man do that come after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. You know, he was looking at the king, the rich, looking at the poor or the foolish, and he said, whether you're rich or poor or foolish, one thing happens to both of them. What's that? Death. Everybody dies, right? Should the Lord not come back? Then I said in my heart, verse 15, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me, and why was I then more wise? So why am I, he said, just I'm going to die, and that fool's going to die, so what makes me any better? Fear God, keep his commandments, this is the whole duty of man. That's what he came to, right? That's what made him different. You see, that was his conclusion. When you read all these verses, it's nice to know what his conclusion was at the end. That's what made him different. Then I said in my heart that this also was vanity. Verse 16, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Right? Therefore I hated life. You can see how if you get into this kind of thinking and trying all this and looking this, watching that and trying to figure this out and try, you can see how you could get to hate life. because you find no purpose in it. There's no purpose in all of that, right? So I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have shown myself, and so forth. Chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 6. If you want to read the rest, of course you've read it before, but if you haven't, you'll read it and you'll see all the other things you tried. And got it. Chapter 6, verse 3. If a man begat 100 children, you know, lots of legacy, and live many years, so the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, 2,000, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. You know, you can spend your whole life, you can spend 2,000 years and have hundreds of killed children, and yet the end result be nothingness. Right? That's what he saw. Fear God, keep his commandments, the whole duty of man. In chapter 7. Verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Remember those good old days? Weren't things so great back then? Right? It says that the former days are better, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You see, you can't live in the past either, right? You tried that. You know, weren't those good old, well, remember the good old days? Didn't people always say that? Remember the good old days? Right. If you go back to then, back in those so-called good old days, people were probably saying, remember the good old days? Right. In chapter 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, said the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among 1,000 have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. You know, God had the opportunity, but it's man who tries this, and this, and tries to go all over the place, right? Not God's fault. In chapter 8, verse 10, and so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Ooh, think that's a modern dilemma? This is back in the days of Solomon. Sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Interesting. Though a sinner do an evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked again. There be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. This also is vanity. The righteous should get the righteous, but that doesn't happen. The wicked should get the wicked reward, but that doesn't happen. And he goes, wow. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever looked out and saw somebody who's wicked and you think this should happen to them? It doesn't. Have you ever seen a righteous person say, well, this should happen to them? It doesn't. Yeah. I said, verse 15, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and drink and to be merry. Right? Take it easy, enjoy. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of all the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. I'm in the wrong place, am I? Yeah, I got that. Sorry, 8, 10, 15. Okay. Chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race... Oh, this is interesting. I'm sure you've heard these expressions uttered in the world, and you'll see. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Isn't that what people say? The race is to the swift. He said, I checked, and the race is not to the swift. Nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Right. You look around, sometimes things don't make sense, do they? You look at things, well, this guy's wicked like crazy, and he's being prospered and blessed. I think Asaph had that problem in Psalm 78, right? Right. Or you see somebody, oh man, he's so righteous, and he keeps burdened down, and all the time being attacked. Doesn't make any sense. But he says, I've seen that. He said, I've seen that. He goes, the swift, they're supposed to win the race, but they don't always. It says here that the battle is to be the strong. Is it always too strong? No, not always. Right. See, you can get involved in your life to try to figure all these things out and get caught up in trying to figure it out. And the end result? Vanity, vexation of spirit. What conclusion should we arrive at immediately? Fear God. You see a rich man who prospers, or an evil man? Fear God, keep his commandments. Right. You see a righteous man who's being burdened down or hurt, you can't explain it? Fear God, keep his commandments. Right? You see, you can get caught up in all the things of life. And what's the end result? Emptiness. What's the point of it? In where was it? Verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemeth great to me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was a found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. What a great hero! Yet no man remembered that same poor man. What's the point? You see how the man could look at them and go, what's the point? Right. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. In Ecclesiastes 11. You know, I looked at some of this, and I set a title to teaching castles in Spain, because I remember when I was a kid, and this is where you got to give me a little bit of leeway here, right? I love this song that I used to listen to. It was called Day After Day, I think it was called. And one of the lines in it was that, you know, it's about a child looking into the future. And all the things and dreams and plans that a person might have in life to accomplish, you know. And that is shown by the statement, you know, someday I'm going to build a castle in Spain. You know, you get this plan, and when this happens, and then this, I'll get this, and we'll get moving, and I'll do this, and I'm going to change the world, right? And that's common among men, you know. And again, this preacher here, he tried all these things, tried to find purpose in life. And one of the lines in that song I used to remember, it was that before you could build any castles in Spain, the chance had gone by, right? And you get to the point in your life where you go, I never built that castle. I was never able to do that I really wanted to do. And so, you know, it's worth looking at Ecclesiastes to understand what is it that you really are trying to do in life, right? And if this man's conclusion was, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, why not let that be the castle that you want to build, right? Is to fear God and keep his commandments. And that castle is built a whole lot differently than some physical castle or some dream that, you know, you might have elevated up here, and you go, well, I never got that. Well, maybe that wasn't what God planned for his man. Maybe what God planned for his man was to reverence him and to keep his word, right? And that is what God wants built in a man, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree falleth toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. That's deep. Things happen, right? Verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Right? And if you're always waiting, if you're always waiting for the right time to do that which you know to be true, right, that time will never come. He that observeth the wind shall not, it's too windy, I'm not going to sow today, it's too windy. The rain's going to come. That's not going to work, you know. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Well, I can't get to it today, I'm kind of busy. It'll never happen. You see, you kind of keep putting it off. And putting it off and putting it off. In chapter 12, verse 8, vanity of vanity, said the preacher, all is vanity, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is awareness of the flesh, right? Just to try and try and try all the things in life to get involved in all these things. And verse 13, then he says, let us, you know, after all that, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In Psalm 37. You see, you start looking at things around you and you're going to see very, very quickly what the preacher realized. Life is not fair. Psalm 37. Life is not fair, is it? Right. It's just not. God is fair, but life is not fair, right? You can't explain everything you see and hear. You can't put everything you observe in life into some kind of compartment and label it so that you actually understand it. It just doesn't work that way. That just doesn't work that way. So why bother? That leads to vanity and vexation of spirit, right? But the conclusion of all that he did is very, very sound indeed, right? To keep reverence God and keep his commandments, right? And so how do you build this castle that you want to build in your life? And it's so simple. In Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see the opposite. The preacher sought all the desires. He sought after them, and he went after it and realized, this is emptiness. And here God says the reverse. Delight in me, and I'll bless you. I'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, you don't seek it the other way. You put God first, you put him first. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Whatever plans, ambitions, things you have in life, you commit them unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Right? And then he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You see, you put that first, reverence him first, and the rest of the stuff, you know, all the blessings, whatever they are, follow. But if we go after that and seek all the experiences, all the things in life, and try to find meaning and try to build these, what I call castles in Spain, right, we'll find that it's emptiness. In Matthew chapter 6, you know, so, you know, you can get to the point in your life and say, well, you know, I didn't really get to do that. And well, think about it. You know, the question, if we're going to keep to what the preacher, the conclusion that Ecclesiastes came to, and that, you know, much of God's word comes to, not just that particular chapter, then the real question I should be asking is, well, what can I do right now, this very moment, while I'm sitting here? How can I serve him today? What can I do right now in my, you know, sometimes people, we choose to think in terms of months and years and decades and say, well, you know, I'm going to be here, and we're always trying to get there. When we get there, we're trying to get here, and, you know, we're trying to get there. And before you know it, you haven't built that castle in Spain, right? It just doesn't happen, right? And as opposed to, what can I do right now? Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just exactly like what we read in Psalm 37, right? See, so how can I put God first in my life right now? You know, if I'm going to school, what subjects am I going to study? You know, well, ask God, or would I study something that would dishonor him? If I go to work, am I going to keep associations with my workmates that I know would be dishonorable towards him, right? Am I going to do something dishonorable towards my wife or to my kids? How can I put him first? You see, you don't build a castle, doesn't get built in a night, right? Every castle is, as far as I know, and I haven't built any castles, right? But I think it takes a brick at a time to build anything. You know, build a house, it takes a log at a time, but you take it one step at a time. So what steps can I take in my mind right this moment that, you know, many years from now, I say, well, it's been wonderful building that castle, and I understand more of God and have greater reverence for him now than I did a year ago, right? Because I took the time to, you know, put him first and to commit my way onto him and rest in him and patiently wait for him and all the things. What can I do right now? What can I do in my day-by-day walk? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and for us, I mean, you know, the reverencing God and keeping his commandments is very specifically tied up in the work of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, right? Who of God is made unto us wisdom. Wasn't he searching for wisdom? Wasn't that the great thing in Ecclesiastes? One of the things they were looking for. And here it says, Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What can I do to brick by brick build that reverence for God, which leads to a castle to reverence God, a mental castle, I should say, is to recognize all that Jesus Christ has done for me and to understand day by day all that the Savior means to me, that in him is my complete righteousness, in him is my complete redemption, my sanctification, and all wisdom, all access to all wisdom comes through Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? See, the thing we read in Ecclesiastes, if you read all those verses, you kind of get tired. All the work that he put towards trying all those things and learning all those things, where the real work ought to be understanding what Christ is to us. If I'm hurt, I need healing. Well, the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. Maybe I ought to spend my time understanding what that means. Right? If I don't have confidence in life, the Word of God says, but through Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me inner strength. Maybe I should spend time understanding that and building those bricks day by day in my mind. You know, if I feel condemned, burdened, or down all the time, maybe I should try to understand that before God, I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, put my effort there. You see how that one verse in Ecclesiastes, fear God and keep his commandments, very specifically for you and me, that is reverencing God and keeping the word as related to what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, all the other stuff, why get caught up in it when Christ is our perfect wisdom? He is our perfect righteousness, perfect redemption, perfect sanctification. You know, and what does that mean? Well, sitting down and thinking about what the word says to you, right? Whatever it means to you. And we'll close in Colossians chapter 3. See, because we too, you know, as believers still today can get caught up in all the same things that you know, the man in Ecclesiastes that caught up in and get caught up in the same ideas of, well, someday I'm going to build this great castle in Spain. I'm going to get there, and it's going to be amazing, right? Well, maybe that's not what the whole point of man is, right? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, or since ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, right? You know, Spain is still on the earth, right? How about castles there, you know, here in our mind? Bricks built upon the work of Jesus Christ, building a sound, solid foundation of understanding what Christ has done for us. If ye then be risen, or since then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your real life is in Christ, which when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And for the days you feel down, maybe a little bit burdened, well, someday the Lord's coming back. Someday you're going to really understand. You know, Paul said he didn't understand yet, but he was working at trying to understand. He was trying to apprehend that which, you know, he was apprehended of by Christ. He was trying to understand all that Christ meant to him. And day by day, he spent time doing that. Well, someday the Lord comes back. Your real life, you're going to finally understand it. You're going to see it in all its greatness, right? And so why not spend time here, you know, building those, you know, brick by brick understanding in our mind of all that Christ has meant for us, right? You know, not get caught up in the, you know, in the trying to figure everything out and trying to understand why this happened, why that happened, how come this is not fair, how come this and why not that, and what's the point? It's all a vexation of spirit, vanity, right? Why not focus on Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us, right? And build that in our mind day by day, right? And then we're not going to sit someday and say, well, chance has gone by, never got a chance to build that. Well, maybe you're never meant to, right? Maybe you were meant to build Christ in your heart and in your mind day by day, right? And that for us, according to Ecclesiastes, is reverencing God and keeping his commandments specifically for our administration, right? So that's